Okay, so we started recording our session, although we are in pre-show right now. And the reason we started recording now is because we'd like for all the people here to introduce themselves. And we are going to start the EVO, Electronic Village Online, kickoff session for 2016 in about 5 or 6 minutes with Master of Ceremonies Jeff LeBeau. Giving his special introduction. But meanwhile, as we thought, because we have a lot of people here, we'd like to hear from them, and we're practicing recording right now. So maybe I'll release the mic, and then anybody who wants to introduce themselves and get their introduction on the recording, we started recording, so go ahead and do like you were just a moment ago. And if you've already introduced yourself, come back and click on the talk button. Introduce yourself, then release the talk button so the next person can come. Okay, and this is Vance Stevens, by the way. I'm from Aline UAE, and I'm one of the coordinators of the Electronic Village Online. Okay, that was Nathan from in Hoi An, Vietnam. I happen to know he's Nathan Bayerlein, and he's going to join the EVO Minecraft MOOC session, I believe, but having a little bit of problems. Nathan, if or anybody else having problems, I recommend that you go to the Tools menu at the top of your screen, pull down and find Audio, and then run the Audio Setup Wizard. Let me just make sure that's where it is. Audio setup wizard. Yeah, troubleshoot your mic using that tools audio setup wizard. Okay, would someone else like to take the mic?
Hello, my name is Maria and Maria Rosari. I'm calling from Italy.
Hi, this is Nina Liakos. I'm here outside of Washington, D.C. in the USA. I am a member of the coordination team. When you introduce yourself, why don't you say where you, not only where you are, but also which session you are involved with. I'm not personally involved with any session, although I am the mentor for Teachers as Designers, Dream Act, What Teachers Can Do, and EVO Minecraft.
Hi, I'm Duccio from Italy. I'm a science teacher.
Hi, I am Mbarak Al-Qadar from Morocco. I'm a member of the coordination team. I'm glad to be among you this session 2016.
Hello, I'm Helena Galani. I'm an educator for the English language in Greece, Lamia, Central Greece, and I'm a moderator on EVO Village 2016. Nice to be here.
Hi, this is José Antônio da Silva. I am in Brazil. I am part of the EVO coordination team, and I'm also a member of ICT4ELT, and I was mentor for the flipped learning group. Okay, nice to be here with you.
Hi, I'm Maria from Argentina. I am part of the co-moderation team, and as JA, I am also a moderator of ICT for ELT. Nice to be here with you all. Bye bye.
Okay, we're about to get started in a couple of minutes. So if anyone else would like to grab the microphone and introduce yourself, we can have you at the beginning of our recording. And so go ahead. I'm going to release the mic now. Grab it if you want to introduce yourself.
Hi, this is Nelly. Hope you can hear me. I'm a mentor of about 4 sessions, one of which is CLIL with over 3,000 participants so far, still more coming in. I'm also a moderator of Moodle for Teachers and teaching EFL to young learners. So looking forward to this amazing event.
Hello, I'm Gerardo Saldutti from Montemarano Avellino, Italy. Nice to be here.
Hello, everybody. I'm Lisa from Udine, Italy.
Hello, everybody. I'm Silvia from Italy. Nice to meet you.
Okay, please don't forget when you speak by clicking on the talk button, you need to immediately click talk and release the mic. And fortunately, I've been going through and doing that for you if you haven't been doing it. Maybe because it let me give just a little bit more opportunity for people to introduce themselves, and then we'll get started with Jeff.
Hello, I am Gerardo Saldutti from Montemarano Avellino. Nice to be here.
Hello, I'm Carolina Rodriguez Buitrago from Bogota, Colombia, one of the moderators for Flipped Learning.
Okay, well, you'll have a chance to introduce yourself again, but I want to be very considerate of a very special friend who is joins us at this time every year for the opening of the Electronic Village Online sessions, and that's Jeff LeBeau. And Jeff has been a long time leader of communities which do a lot of interactive webinars, World Bridges Community, and he also has something called EdTech Talk, and right now he's in Korea doing Korea Bridges, which gets students online, showing them in Hangouts how to cook. He's very active in the online world of language learning and professional development. And he comes to us from Seoul, Korea, and he's going to kick off our session. So Jeff, it's really great to have you here, and how are you today?
Thank you very much, Vance. It's truly an honor to be invited to kick this off. And on that note, I will welcome everyone to the Electronic Village Online 2016 launch webcast being streamed live on January 10th, 2016. We are gathered here today to begin what I think is probably the most awesome professional development opportunity that's out there. For English teachers, maybe anybody, it's really one of my favorite events. It's truly global, it's truly supportive and cooperative, and it's always great fun. So I believe our plan for today is to hear from session moderators about the various sessions that will be taking place during the next 5 weeks and get to know each other. So I will turn it back over to you, Vance, or whomever I should be turning it over to get the show on the road. I know we have a lot of information to share and a lot of people to meet, and I'm looking forward to all of it. Thanks.
Okay, well, I guess someone is running the slideshow, so perhaps we might. Well, first of all, let's take the other people who are moderating this session, and one is our lead coordinator to whom we're very indebted for the time and energy he's and organization he's put into Electronic Village Online. So maybe I should have Mubarak Al-Qadr say a couple of words at this point.
Yeah, thank you, Vance. Thank you, Jeff. I'm really excited to be part of this great learning community. This session of this year is really very enthusiastic and very great concerning the number of participants we have. We are having in different sessions. So we are, let's say, recording some top registrations. We are really excited to lead this all together as a team, this session, and to meet the objectives we set to ourselves as the coordination team of this year, and as we've had since you both and all started this community. Well, for the time being, we are expecting flipped learning community, or let's say team, to start at 14:20. However, we have two inter slots, or let's say 15 minutes before they can start. If there is any session leader who would like to take the mic and tell us a little bit about, let's say, the session we are leading, it's okay.
Maybe I'd like to ask one other person to come on, and that's Nina Liakos, who is our last year chief coordinator. She might have a few things that she'd like to say. Also, I'm not sure how long Jeff will be here, because he's taken on a responsibility in the morning for giving workshops, which gets him up very early, and it's going to be midnight where he is in another hour. So maybe we could take people in that order. Maybe Nina could come on and say a few words about EVO, and then hand back to Jeff. And then Jeff, maybe while you're here, why don't we get you to ask people to come on, and then when you need to leave, we'll take over.
It's me again, Nina Liakos, outside of Washington, D.C. Thanks, Vance, for this opportunity. I'm joining on my phone. It's a little tricky. I can't see everything at the same time, but I have technical difficulties getting into the room with my laptop. And for every person that's here, I think there are probably several people who would like to be here but weren't able to manage it. And I apologize for that, and I hope that they get to listen to the recording. We seem to have a lot of EVO newbies today, people who are not experienced with the EVO. So I just want to take a couple of minutes to explain a little bit about what the Electronic Village Online is, and what this webcast today is, and also what we are not. So the Electronic Village Online, since about 2002, has organized free professional development sessions for English language teachers and a few others around the world. We are a project of the CALL interest section, computer-assisted language learning, of TESOL International. We are completely free, and we are all volunteers, all of the coordinators, all of the moderators, and of course all of the participants are volunteering their time because they want to learn something, or in the case of moderators, they want to show somebody else something. So each session is pretty independent, and if you've signed up for a session, if you're here, I presume that you've visited our public website at evosessions.pbworks.com, and you have followed the directions on the session page, but I've been working with some people that have had problems getting to the session page. From that front page of EVO Sessions, you scroll down, you find the session that you want to join, you click on the underlined title of the session, and that should take you to the session page. Near the bottom of the session page, there is a section called Join This Session, and it's different for each one. Sometimes you have to join a Google Plus community. Sometimes you have to enroll in a Moodle course. It's just different. So you need to follow those instructions and then go to week one and find out what you're supposed to be doing. EVO is mostly an asynchronous thing. That means that you are working independently, and occasionally most sessions offer the possibility of getting together live as we are here today. But what we're doing here today with Jeff and Vance, Mubarak, me, Jose Antonio, Maria Bosa, Elizabeth Ann, I'm mentioning coordinators and I've probably missed a couple. What we're doing today is launching the whole EVO. There are 14 sessions, and those sessions are listed at evosessions.pbworks.com. Can somebody put that in the chat? So this is a very general session. We're going to hear information about, we hope, all 14 sessions. Thank you, Peggy. So those of you that came here expecting to find only the people that were involved in your session, I'm sorry, that's not what we are. We are happily kicking off the whole Electronic Village online. And again, going to your session page, you will find out what to do in order to get started on your learning, on your professional development in the session that you have chosen. I'm going to give back the mic and see if there are any questions or if maybe I've said too much already.
Well, thank you, Nina. I jump on the mic just to share with the participants here the timeline of the event sessions. We start at September, usually early dates of September. Like this year, it started at September the 6th, 2015. For the proposals deadline, so we call for proposals as earlier than that, but the deadline of submitting proposals was September the 6th, and we extended a little bit the lines, let's say the days, for a few more days. We work on these proposals for some time, like 2 weeks or more. Then we evaluate them. We see which proposals are eligible to be successful sessions. After that, we invite, of course, we inform we send the feedback to moderators and to the moderating teams to tell them if their session is accepted or not. Then we give the training to the moderators of the sessions which are accepted. The training took place from November the 1st till November the 29th. After that, of course, we have the call for registration, which let's say started on January the 3rd and ends today. We generally are flexible about the dates of, let's say, registration. It all depends, it's all up to the session moderators to decide if they want to be firm on that or not. So now we are supposed to be in the third or fourth station or stage of the Electronic Village Online, and we are expecting to start, let's say, the sessions today, January the 10th, and which will end on February 14th, 2016. This is on the way, of course, to the TESOL convention that will take place in Baltimore on April the 5th, and between April 5 and April 8, 2016. Yes, thank you.
Okay, this is Vance again. I think I'd like to hand the program over to our Master of Ceremonies. It's getting about time, well, almost time. We have flipped learning. Kevin Coleman and flipped learning is first on the schedule, which is actually due to start in about 5 minutes, so I presume he's around. Maybe you could raise your hand, Kevin, if you're in the audience. There's a very long list of people here. But Jeff, maybe as you take it over, as long as you're going to be here, you might tell us a little bit about what you're doing these days. What projects are you involved in?
Thank you, Vance. And I wanted to mention, I believe someone has control of the video camera, and so others cannot grab it. So, Vance, I don't know if you can take that away, or because it's nice to see people when they speak, and I think there's only one video camera allowed. In any event, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to stay for this entire session because I'm teaching a workshop for elementary school teachers here in Busan, Korea, and I have to get up early tomorrow morning, but I will certainly catch the recording. And although I have one more week of that, I'm looking forward to a four-week staycation after that, and we'll be hopefully getting some webcasting going connected to EVO. My goal is always to try to peek into the various sessions. I'm noticing that this year a lot of the action is happening in Google communities, but they're not public, so you don't see what's happening there unless you've joined the community. So I'm going to be starting week two kind of trying to connect people in different sessions, perhaps using Google Plus Hangouts on Air, and kind of having some cross-pollinated conversations during EVO. I did want to chime in on some of Nina's comments. I know there are many people who have not done EVO before, and it can be overwhelming and confusing and a little bit chaotic sometimes, but I just want to encourage people to embrace the chaos. Feel free to experiment. That's, I think, one of the most wonderful parts of EVO, is that you really can don't be afraid to fail, to try new stuff. It's such a supportive environment, and be overwhelming. It can be challenging to sip from the fire hose of content, and I encourage you to digest as much as you can, but don't feel like you have to consume it all. So I will turn the mic over for now to whomever wants it. I know we need to get going with the session information part of this. And if I don't speak again, I just want to wish everyone a wonderful EVO. Thank you very much for inviting me and including me in this. It is a great honor. And I will look forward to connecting with many of you during the next 5 weeks. Thanks.
Okay, Jeff. Well, thanks a lot for joining us. It wouldn't be a real kickoff if it weren't for your voice at the beginning of the recording. And, of course, Jeff introduced us, a lot of us, I should say, to Hangouts and how to run them so that we could include numerous people in the Hangouts. That was a trick that I got from Jeff. And he's had Hangouts going where at some times when we introduce these sessions, he's brought the Collaborate, Blackboard Collaborate, Illuminate windows into Hangouts and merged them for us. So he's been quite a wizard. We're not challenging him very much tonight with just the Blackboard Collaborate. But anyway, we're so grateful that you came. Thank you very much. And I believe the first person, yes, Kevin is here. The first person on the list is Kevin Coleman to talk about flipped learning. And he says he can't hit the talk button. Oh, because I've got, yes, because I'm using the talk button. When I release it, you'll be on. So, Kevin, are you ready to talk about flipped learning? And if so, hit the talk button, and we'll go.
Good morning. Can you hear me all right? It appears everything's okay. Hi, Nina. Can you... Okay, thank you, Monica. Well, good morning. It's a little early here in Wichita, Kansas, but I'm always ready to talk about flipped learning. Well, we're really excited. This is our second year as a group, flipped learning. Main thing I want to say, just a couple things. I know there's a lot of people that are going to speak, hopefully 14. Morning, Jeff, in Korea. One thing I want to say is that we have all sorts of people from all levels in this session, different contexts, different things. We have people that are brand new to flipped learning, that have just heard the words flipped learning and they know nothing else. We have people that have already flipped their classes. We have people that are giving giving presentations on flipped learning. So we have a whole spectrum, and it's a perfect example of why flipped learning can be so good, when can be so wonderful when you need to have a differentiated environment. So flipped learning basically is how you can organize your in-class and out-of-class work to best suit your context. And I won't go much into it now. If you want to know more, come join our session. We'd love to have you. We have a great group of moderators. We have John, Jeff, Carolina, and Khaled, and myself, Kevin. We had a wonderful session last year. We have a few people returning. So welcome all levels. If you are brand new to flipped learning, or you do have experience with flipped learning, that is great. We will try to accommodate for both of those. If you have any questions, I'd love to hear those. You could write them in there. But yeah, that's basically it. Welcome everyone. If you're new to flipping, or if you're experienced flipping, brand new to the flip, that's wonderful. Rosa, that's wonderful. You are more than welcome. Yes, I agree. It is very interesting. Flip learning is wonderful. It really is. It's. I kind of stumbled upon it. I tried it. You know, I basically kind of failed, and I had to really work at it for a couple of years. And I'm still working at it. The truth is, I'm still learning every day. So I'll take this off, Giovanni. I'll hit the talk button off. I'll stop rambling. I think you guys have the idea. I'll just go ahead and end this now. Good morning.
Okay. Yeah. Flipped learning does, as I mentioned in the chat, incorporate so many skills, and it's something that is so broad, you know, that with so many aspects to it, that even if you are really into flipped learning, I'm sure you would benefit from this session and from the things that other people tell you about it. Do you have people who are really good at flipped learning in your sessions, Kevin, that you learn from?
Oh, absolutely. Last year I learned so much. And it's really, I really loved how we said, this was my first Evo session last year, and big shout out to the Electronic Village people, and you, Vance, thank you very much, not only for the Electronic Village, but Vance also does Learning Together. I hope he can post a link here. You should all check that out. He's always speaking with wonderful guests, and there are several sessions. I don't know that I've even made very many of the live ones, Vance, but those are logged on his website so that you can watch them later. And also thanks to everyone else on the coordination team that's been helping make this happen, because last year definitely, oh hey Carolina, definitely changed my life last year, and I know it did to Carolina as well, our moderator. And anyway, it's really great because we have a content page that has all the information, and we use Google+, and there's a lot of dialogue on there. And so yes, I learned so much, fans, from our participants last year, and thank you again very much for helping make this go. Carolina, did you want to say hi really quick, or John? I guess we'll probably move on to the next person here, but did you want to say hi really quick, Carolina? She was a participant last year in the flip session. We recruited her. Good morning, Carolina.
Hello, Kevin, and hello, everybody. Yes, I was a participant last year. It was my first year with Evo, and I was saying yesterday how Evo changed my life professionally. It's great to be a part of this community of teachers, growing, sharing. I could not believe that there were so many people out there willing to share just for free every single thing they knew. So being a part of flipped learning last year definitely changed my life, and now I'm a moderator. So this is an invitation for everybody. Evo is just the best thing that is about to happen to you if this is your first time. Thank you, Nina, for everything. Nina was also great last year. And I have to say thanks to someone who's not here, but who introduced me to Evo, who's Christine Bao Ramazani. She was one of the starters, like one of the founders. So thank you very much to Christine, because thanks to her, I'm here this year. Thank you, Kevin, and thanks, everyone. And welcome to a great learning experience for everyone.
And Jeff was saying earlier, asking who is controlling the video. What's happening is the video has been all set to start with the speaker. What I just did just now, I cued my video, so then when I hit the talk button, the video came on. But the next speaker, before the next speaker speaks, the previous speaker's video is still there. So that's why it seems that it's not really following the speaker. But when someone speaks, something gets put up on the screen, an avatar or something. So anyway, you're welcome to put your video on. What I'm going to do, just like the talk button, when I've stopped broadcasting, I'm going to turn my video off and then cue it for when I want to say something. So we have time for any other questions for Kevin. We've paced these introductions about 10 minutes apart. So the next one is Jose Antonio in about 4 minutes. But if anyone has one last question for Kevin or about flipped learning, go ahead.
Yeah, I just would like to see how registration is going on with flipped learning session. Hello.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch your question. Could you repeat your question, please?
I just wanted to know how is registration. How is it going on? The operation of getting participants, is it going on without problems? Nothing is to be noticed? Did you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. Thanks, Mubarak. Yeah, registration's going great. Apparently, we had a lot of early birds. We had a lot of people that were a few weeks ago, they were really, really just chomping at the bit, as we say, to get in. And right now, we're sitting over, we have a whole bunch of participants. As my grandpa says, we have more participants than you can shake a stick at. I think we have about 250 or so at the moment. We're real excited about it. And it's going great. Thanks for your question. One quick thing I'd say that I really enjoyed is how human our session was. And it's all fit together with flipped learning and humanizing the classroom. And I thought, okay, this course online, kind of distance course, I thought, well, you know, I was a little intimidated by the technology, but really, it was so human, the friendships that I made, and even Carolina, and I ended up going to Bogota at a conference and at TESOL Colombia, and just made great friends, and I still consider many people on here my great friends. The sessions, to all the sessions, since I guess I'm the first one here, I just want to say you can really get as much out of this as you want. It can be as wonderful as you make it. And, say hi to the other participants in whatever form of communication you're using. And you can make new relationships and friendships and learn from each other. And so, really, you can really connect with the people. So that's my shout-out to Evo. And I think John's around. I think there's only one more minute if John wants to say hello. But we're all very excited.
Yes, I'll say hello, and thanks, Kevin and Carolina. Last year was an incredible experience for me. It was the first time I moderated, and I actually got to meet some of the people at TESOL, and it was, as Kevin said, it was a great experience for making friends. And yes, Carolina, it can change your life. It definitely changed mine a few years ago. And thank you.
Okay, Jeff, would you like to introduce Jose Antonio and So we'll get your voice in again if you want to do that. Oh. Okay, I'm not sure what happened to you, Jeff. You're usually an expert at this. Do you want to try again?
All right, I will try one more time. Oh, it seems to be working now. Yeah, I had a little glitch, a little tech error pop up. In any event, so I'm going to introduce Jose Antonio, who's moderating, I think, one of the coolest. I mean, they're all cool. But one of my favorite sessions, the ICT for ELT, which for me, I always tune into whether I participate actively or not, because it really helps me discover the latest, coolest, and most useful tools out there that we English teachers might be using tech-wise. And they usually produce great lists, and there's such great crowdsourced experimentation. So with that, I'll turn it over to Jose.
Okay, Jose is going to take over, so could others in the session please refrain from pressing the talk button a moment while Jose gets it. Okay, go ahead, Jose.
Hello. Hello, I am Giovanna Sciarrone. I am a teacher of math and physics in Fondi, near Rome. This is the first time that I attend a course like EVO, and I hope to learn English to teach materials, math and physics in English. Thank you for this opportunity.
Okay, the controls have indeed gone glitchy. Jose, it could be possibly that technical glitch that Jeff was experiencing could be so many attacks on the talk button. So while we're trying to get Jose started, let's all leave off the talk button for a minute. And thank you, Giovanna, of course. So I'm going to release the talk button. Let's see if Jose can grab it.
Hello, can you hear me now? I guess you can, huh? Yes, hi, everybody. Okay, this is Jose Antonio da Silva. I'm speaking from Brasília, Brazil. It's 12:34 p.m. now, so it's a bit past midday. I had lunch already. As Jeff says, all the sessions are cool. ICT for ELT is cool, but flipped learning is also a very cool session. I took it last year, and I just loved it, and I'm taking it again. Let me just say a few words about ICT for ELT. ICT for ELT stands for interactive communication tools for English language teachers. This is a session that we first ran it. Information and communication. Thank you. Okay. Information communication tools for ELT English language teachers. This is a session that we craft last year. Okay, I think it was actually in 2014, and we ran in 2014, 2015, and this is our third year. We all came, most of us were participants in the Becoming a Webhead session. We owe a lot to them, to the Webhead experience, to the Becoming a Webhead, to what we do. Until now, let me just talk a little about our moderators. We have this big group of moderation, this fabulous team. We have Ayatollah in Egypt. We have Helen Davis in France. Myself in Brazil, right? There is Marcia Lima also in Brazil. We have Mariana Smolcak in Croatia, right? We also have Svetlana Obenalsova in the Czech Republic, Sanja Bozinovic in Croatia too, and Elizabeth Ann in France, and Maria Bosa in Argentina, and Isniza Filipovic in Croatia or the Czech Republic. Sorry if I, okay, somebody can help me. Okay, right. In Croatia, thanks Elizabeth. So what we did, what ICT4ELT is basically a session that tries to help educators integrate technology tools into their classes. And we always are exploring new tools, new things, and also the old things, the things that work for us in the session, we also implemented in the next session. So what we have been doing so far, we divide our 5 weeks, okay, or 4 weeks basically, into areas that are important, areas that you could categorize as areas that a teacher needs to focus on when using technology. So that's what we did, okay? So every week we have a group of moderators. So for week one, what we call it getting to know each other in the course platform. So this is the week we use in which we introduce ourselves, right? So basically we use Google Communities for the participants to post their introductions. We ask them to post a picture of a memorable moment if they want to. I think this is good because it connects participants. It's a way of breaking the ice, you know, there is an icebreaker activity in Google. We also use the Google Communities for commenting on the readings. For week one, we have readings on math kit, okay, the importance of learning online, how you can learn online. We also have, we use a wiki as our main platform for content, okay, so our syllabus, the weekly tasks are posted on our wiki, and also we ask participants to edit their profiles on the week and the wiki and go ahead doing that. And so what we do, we basically use platforms and we ask participants to do something with those platforms we are using for the session so that they learn how to use those and can they can use them in their classes, right? So basically that's what we do in week one. For week two, we're going to explore the area of synchronous and asynchronous communication tools. Basically, we're still going to explore text, okay, audio and video. So we're going to use Skype for communication. We have sessions on Skype. We do have things on Twitter, you know. We use this platform that's really cool called Padlet for participants to post things on this, right? And so we also use tools for audio, like HandBase, AudioPal. We talk about podcasts and tools for videos also, besides Twitter and other tools. So this is basically a week in which we will explore text and audio for communication, and teachers can have ideas on how to use this with their students. Moving on to week three, okay. What we'll do there, we're going to talk about blogs and wikis and presentation tools. So basically, talking about tools for slideshows and getting more deeply into using blogs and wikis in classrooms. And all the weeks, we have weekly readings that try to inform participants on the best strategies to adopt those tools and to use those tools that we are using and discuss them in the readings and in our Google Plus community. And finally, week four, which is the week we dedicate for exploring Edmodo. We've been using Edmodo for, I think, the last two sessions, I guess. And it's been a huge success, so we're going to explore Edmodo again in interactive quizzes. So we talk about a great variety of tools for interactive quizzes, and we also use Edmodo. We teach teachers how to use Edmodo efficiently. And we also have badges. Okay, we are implementing Credly for badges now in our session. And basically, so it's a great session. You know, we concerning registration, we already have 154 participants. I didn't count the moderators because I think there are around 10 moderators. So it's 154 the last time I checked. You know, so basically says, okay, it's a pleasure for us to have all of you here with us. Okay, our session is very rich in terms of variety. We have people from, I think, all the continents, I guess, you know, and it's going to be really fun. Okay, I'm done. Okay, if somebody else wants to say something, if you have questions, I'm all ears. So, any questions? Anybody from ICT4EOT wants to say anything? Thanks, Polly. Okay.
Hi, this is Elizabeth Ann. I just wanted to add to what Jose Antonio said, that because I've joined the moderating team for the first time, and I'm surprised at the competence of a large number of the participants. So the idea is to really help people to get online as well. So I hope that we really manage that, because we've all got so much from Evo, and it certainly starts with this group. And about the countries which they come from, I was amazed to the extreme variety of countries. It's just, I mean, there's someone from, what's it called, next to Bhutan, and Kurdistan, and so I just feel I'm learning so much already before we start. Thanks.
Yeah, this is Mubarak Akhda. I have been, let's say, a member of the moderation team, and I'd like to say that it is the continuation of becoming a wavehead started by Teresa. By the way, I'd like to say hi to her from here, though she's not here, and Daphne, the two, let's say, waveheads who had a great influence on us, on a large number of let's say participants and moderators and waveheads in general. So this is one of the greatest and most wonderful communities inside EVL. The moderation is just very effective and friendly in a certain way that learners keep coming back every year. So even though they may add other sessions to their schedule, they remain, let's say, faithful to ICT4L. Thank you.
Okay. If I could allow one more question, but we're a bit over. We have a little gap coming up in the schedule, so it should be okay. So one more question, and then maybe we could do the change over at I've got 45 minutes after the hour now. Maybe the next one could go until 55 minutes after. And Mubarak, I left you a note in the moderator's chat in the Illuminate chat. Okay. Any more questions for Jose? Okay. Someone had the microphone. Someone still has it, I think. So if you have it and you can release it, I would appreciate that. Okay. So anyway, so the next presenter is Lori Dodson of Dream Act. Is Lori here? If you are, can you raise your hand, and we'll let you take the microphone. Yes, she says IA. I guess that means an acronym for IAM. Okay, so you have 10 minutes, or I should say the next person on will be Anya Rodinska, and she should start at about 55 minutes after the hour. Okay, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Lori Dotson, and I'm located right outside of D.C., really close to where Nina lives, and I'm one of the moderators for DREAM Act, What Teachers Can Do. And we're concerned about DREAMers. They're undocumented students in the U.S. who've bought into the American dream of a higher education. But there are a lot of barriers that are preventing them from having their dreams. And we're looking at what can teachers do, especially ESOL teachers who develop strong relationships with these students, to help them have their dream of going to college. These students aren't able to receive federal aid, so it's very difficult for them. A lot of them come from families living in poverty, so they have to search for private scholarships. They have to search for mentors just to walk them through, how do I apply for college? So we're going to be looking at barriers these students face, and things that can empower teachers to advocate for these students. And we'll also be looking at some of the federal policies and how state laws differ for DREAMers, because in Maryland, where I live, DREAMers are able to attend college at an in-state tuition because the voters passed a law, but other states have different laws, so we're going to be examining the differences so we can advocate for DREAMers throughout the U.S. Does anyone have any questions?
Okay, what's the general format for your session? What are you going to do roughly week by week?
We're going to be using a Google Plus community, and the first week we're going to be examining who are DREAMers, and week two looking into different barriers DREAMers face so we can overcome those barriers. We're going to be moving into state laws and federal laws during week three and four, and finally on taking action. What can teachers do to advocate? How can we educate other teachers? How can we write into newspapers? How can we inform people that DREAMers are there, since they're a population whose voice often isn't heard, or who there's a lot of misinformation about out in the community?
Okay, are there any more questions for Lori? And feel free to ask. There are a few minutes.
I'm just going to jump in here to respond to a question that Peggy George asked a while back. She wanted to know how people could have access to the materials for all of the sessions, because they couldn't take all of the sessions. Most EVS sessions leave their resources up indefinitely after the session is over. So if you're a member of the session, you can always go back and access them. So I'm afraid that the only way to do that is to sign up for the session and then go back to it later when you have more time. What you miss out on is all the interaction, which is the most exciting and wonderful part of an EVO session for many of us. And if you're going to do that, I would recommend that you let the moderators know why you have signed up and why you are silent. We do have a lot of people lurking. They're watching, they're listening, they're participating in a silent way. But for moderators, it's nice to know why somebody is silent. And if you sign up just because you want to go back to the resources later, that's a legitimate thing to do. It's perfectly valid. But it's just, I think, courteous to let the moderators know that that's what you are doing. And I will mute my mic now.
Okay. Just another question for about the DREAM Act, if anybody would like to ask. It's a fleeting opportunity, but you can take it now if you want.
Okay, this is Maha connecting from Cairo. I have a quick question about the DREAM Act, because it sounded like it's a very U.S.-based session. but I was wondering which weeks or what parts of this session can be of benefit to people participating from outside the U.S. Thanks.
This is Lori again, and the DREAM Act is very U.S.-based because we're dealing with undocumented students living in the United States, but I think it's beneficial for people outside the U.S. because these students come from countries all around the world, and with a lot of the rhetoric going on in the United States and people say, let's send kids back to where they came from, I think it's important for everyone to know how to advocate. And we know that migration is not just a United States issue. It's an issue going on throughout the world right now. So hopefully a lot of tactics used by DREAMers, by undocumented students in the U.S., could also be adapted for other groups of young people who are advocating for rights and for human rights. So we hope everyone can get something out of it. So for people who want to participate from other countries.
Okay, well, thank you very much. If there are no further questions, we'll ask Anya Rolinska to come on and talk to us about teachers as designers. So I'm going to release my microphone, and hopefully Anya will come here. Is she here, by the way?
Hello? Hi there. Hopefully you can hear me. Okay. So my name is Anya Rolinska. I'm based in Glasgow. And I'm one of the moderators on the Teachers as Designers session. It's a new session, completely new to Evo. And basically, it also is concerned with integrating technology into a language classroom, but it takes a slightly different approach, and it is inspired by the kind of design techniques. So when you think of architects or designers working on their work, on their projects, we are kind of trying to get inspiration from them. So what it's going to look like is that we start with a by defining a scenario, a challenge, which is relevant and particular to our context. And then we are going through the process, which is inspired by the learning design, and we are trying to find out more about the context and about our learners, about other contextual factors, and try to design a particular technology-based solution. And then we prototype, we evaluate. Evaluation is quite an important component of the whole process. And thanks to the evaluations, feedback from others, we tweak the prototype so that finally, and hopefully at the end, we arrive at a solution that meets our learners' needs. So it's a very hands-on session, and it's project-based. So everybody will be working on their problems particular to their context, but also learning with others and from others by getting feedback from others and also by giving feedback to others. So there'll be a lot of collaboration and interaction. We are going to use Canvas as the main learning platform, and besides we're also using various social media, Twitter and Facebook. We also have a blog, which we, meaning the moderators, keep as a kind of a reflection platform. And when it comes to Canvas, so the main learning platform, we'll be using forums to discuss, but also each of the participants will have their own portfolio. And here they can either use their own blog, external blog, but there is a portfolio function within the Canvas, and they're more than welcome to use that. And they will be using that portfolio or the blog as a kind of an individual workshop within which they are developing their project. And then certain times during each week, they will bring the project to the kind of a common room, so the discussion forum, in order to get feedback, targeted feedback from the peers and moderators. So we're going to have kind of three activities, three core activities per week, and then a peer feedback activity as well. So hopefully that will keep us all busy and engaged and interested. So there are five moderators. I know that the list, according to the information on the Evo wiki, there are six, but unfortunately one has to resign quite recently. So there are five of us. So it's Karen in Brazil. I know that she is present in the room now. We've got Karina, who's also present in the room in China, and then Jeannie in the States, and myself in Scotland, and Emma in Portugal. So we are kind of spread all over the world. We're going to have real-time sessions as well. So every Sunday we are planning to have a session held in an Adobe Connect room, and those sessions will be to we'll be using them to engage with the participants to deal with their questions. But we also have a couple of guest speakers who will join us and share their experience in using learning design in their practices. So it should be fun and informative. If you have any questions, please let us know in the text chat.
Okay, as moderator, I get to remove the mic. If you're going to hold the mic, you need to be talking, otherwise we get dead space in our recording. So if anybody has any question for Ania, we have time for one or two questions. Okay, I'll give someone the opportunity to do that. Okay, I've taken the mic back again. Ania, do you have anything further you'd like to say about your session? I had to remove the mic. I'm going to give it back to you. Any further questions for Ania? And the next speaker will be the very dynamic Shelley Sanchez-Terrell. So if Shelley's ready, you can prepare yourself and let us know.
Hello, everyone. I don't know if you can hear me. I was wondering if there's a way that I could upload just one picture really fast. I think I have to get moderator rights for that, and I don't see where I can do that. So, oh, that's great. Oh, and hi, Lucia. We have a couple of our the people here that are already here for some of our moderators. I think it's all Peggy George, so that's really fantastic. And I've seen Lucia as well, and Walton Burns, so that's fantastic. And I think I might have even seen Sue Annan, but I'm not sure. So we are about ready to begin. Oh, thank you so much. I see it now. So I'll go ahead and add that. And that should be really, really quick because it is just one picture. And here we go. Okay, so we are here for, we call it eBook Evo, but it's gone through many different names. We have textbook teachers, or teachers creating digital textbooks. And in 5 weeks, our participants get to create the first chapter of their own digital textbook. These are incredible moderators. We have actually 17 from all over the world, and they, many of them were participants before, and I think that that's one of the greatest things about our session is we have those who've already gone through the process of creating sometimes one, two, or three books. They've done it in different types of formats, and so they really, really help our participants, which is great because we have nearly 2,000 in our Google Plus community, and active as of now, today, according to our survey, those who filled out the survey for this year, we have about 70 that have filled out this long survey. So that's a good sign because that means that those will be our active core. We even have some who got overzealous and even went through the first week. So our weeks include, and you can see our moderators in the bottom, but our weeks include, we walked you through the process, and we've kind of gone through this syllabus with even in the past some very well-known best-selling authors and publishers in ELT, including Lindsay Clanfield, Chuck Sandy, and many, many others. And so we have lots of writers in this group as well. We even have a professional editor, Tanya Tressler. She's edited with many publishers. So we try to cover all the fields, and we really wanted to make this session to where anyone can come, and yes, anyone can create a textbook, but a digital textbook. Anyone can just go up and use a Google Doc or anything like that. But the good thing about our session is we really do try to get all of these moderators who have incredible experience, who have published a lot of their work, who has also done it with different students. We try to get them to really help get it to where it's well-designed, well-edited, and that it's a good product. And if you've seen in the past, we've had over 35 books per session about. I think the last session might have been about 20. But I think that's really, really incredible. Some of these participants, and we've already had some from all over the world participate. We've had some from Iraq, we have had some from Italy, we've had some participants that are in the U.S., we have some participants from Argentina, Croatia, so we do have a lot of international presence. But things go through mind mapping, planning, what are the best tools. We even go through whether for young learners, we have peer groups for young learners, pre-adolescents, teens, and adults. And this year we have a new moderator, I'll mention Nellie Deutsch, and she's been helping us as well and helping spread the word, so we appreciate it. Does anybody have any questions? You can join by going to ebookevo.pbworks.com. And our Google community, where all the action is taking place right now, we're posting 3-2-1 introductions and saying hi to each other, is bit.ly/ebookevo16, and all of that is lowercase. I can get on video for just a sec if you want, just so I can say hi with little Roscoe. I'm going to say hi this morning, buddy. I know it's early. I know it might be too early for you. But say hi to everyone. You can say morning sunshine. He's excited for being the eBook Evo mascot. I see Maria Irene here too, so. Okay, well, I think we might not have any questions, but you're free to join us. We used the hashtag eBook Evo, so we did a Twitter chat the other day, so you're more than welcome to ask any of us any questions, and you can see all our moderators here, so we're really, really excited. Yes, you can definitely write questions. Hi, Rachel.
Okay. Okay. Shelley, I guess we're, if anybody has any more questions, they're welcome to ask. I think I'm the next person up with EPO Minecraft MOOC. I'm not sure if anybody has any more questions for Ania as well. Maybe if you have questions for either of those sessions, I know Emmanuel in the text chat was going to ask something. Carlos in Trinidad says he's a bit lost. But anyway, let's take a pause here maybe for a few minutes and see if we have any catching up to do, if anybody would like to make any comments on the because we have me, EPO Minecraft MOOC, and Rose Bard, who we're going to present on that in a few minutes, and then Helena Galani for EPO Village, and then we have a little bit of a gap, so we have some time in our program where we can catch up. So does anyone have any questions for Shelley or for Ania?
I will say really quick, I know we use Google Community too, and we use PBWorks, and we have found that that works really well.
Okay, it looks like I have a mascot here as well. So he's likes to show off. I think he wants to talk to Roscoe. I'm not really sure. This is Lars, our cat. Okay, let's see. If Rose is available, I suppose we could talk about EVO Minecraft MOOC. And while we're I'll make an additional microphone here. So in case she wants to say something, I'll make a second mic. So, okay.
Elizabeth just jumped in to say, did you see that Till also has a live session today? That's why some people are confused, because there is a live session for the Till people. I don't know when.
Okay, yeah, that's good to know. Okay, thanks for letting us know that. Yeah, so that's an announcement for Till people. And Till is introducing themselves here at 20 minutes after the top, in about an hour from now, I think. Is that correct? Or is an hour? Maybe it's in being a little confused. No, that's right, yeah. I think we're going into the next hour. Okay, here's Rose. And Rose can probably, let me see, how many mics do I have here? Okay, I've got two mics on, that's great. So Rose, maybe you could grab one. And we're doing EVO Minecraft MOOC. Let me see if I can find the slide. There it is. It's the next slide up, EVO Minecraft MOOC. This is kind of an interesting session because it's actually not really about Minecraft. It's about teacher professional development and engaging students. And the vehicle happens to be Minecraft. The reason that we're using Minecraft is that it's so effective for language learning. I got onto this from Mariana Smolchitz, whose son Philip joined with me last year to be co-moderators at this session. Philip was 11 years old last year. He is an excellent co-moderator. He's very articulate. The reason he's articulate is that he's from Croatia, and he and his brother, his younger brother, both are fairly fluent in English, exceptionally fluent in English, as to say, due to their use of Minecraft and their interaction with people throughout the world. So this was one reason, and then we wrote an article, she and Philip wrote an article for TESOL EJ, and in this article, she interviewed Philip to ask him about how he learned English so much using Minecraft. And my part of the article, it was actually their article, but I did a research. I researched other people who'd been using Minecraft. Jeff Kuhn was one, for example. He's joined us as moderator. And he's using Minecraft in a higher education context. One of the situations was he was creating zombie apocalypses so that his students could have something to write about for disaster management. So is an extremely versatile program. Has it's engineering, it's math, it's language. People make videos, people interact. Well, what you learn when you come to this course with us is you don't know, like me last year, I didn't know anything, so this is kind of unusual. I think Shelley, for example, knows a lot about e-books, and Ania surely knows a bit about design, but most people will set up a course that they know something about, not just to learn it. But what I did, I wanted to learn about Minecraft, and I wasn't very successful at it, so I needed to create a community to do it. And so what I was kind of a test case last year. I didn't really know anything about it, but I learned quite a lot. Now I've got a little bit more knowledge, but we have a group of people now. We've got Rose Bard, who might say a few words in a minute, and we have Braun Stuckey, one of our moderators. We also have, doing this off the top of my head, Barbara Buitas from Hungary, and Thomas Lawrence, and our guys from Ohio setting up the server for us, Aaron Schwartz and Jeff Kuhn. And Rose, was there anybody else? Are you with us, Rose?
Hi, James. Hi, everybody. Yes, I'm here, and I'm very excited about the Minecraft MOOC. Really looking forward to learning more on how to implement that with my students, and I hope, you know, we enjoy it a lot because it's really fun to play. I'm really enjoying this.
Yeah, and Maha is asking, is it suitable for someone who doesn't know Minecraft yet? Absolutely. You see, as I said, it's not really about Minecraft. It's about learning in a world environment. It's about going to spaces like Second Life and Minecraft, where you learn just by being there, by joining other people. I say it's magic, because when you go there, you understand more about collaboration, about it's gaming. The neat thing about gaming is you don't know how the game is going to come out. So if your game is scripted, then it's not going to be that fun a game. So you come to the space, and then you meet some monsters, and we play in creative mode at first, so you really don't get killed, but then we go into survival mode, which is a lot of fun, and we help each other survive. And so you learn quite a lot about why it's so popular with your students, and so that's basically what the session is about. So let me release my mic, and we'll take some questions if anybody has them, or if Rose, you want to say anything else?
Nope, just really that I look forward for you guys to join us and have fun together, learning and playing, collaborating. I'm sure you're all going to find something that you can take back with you.
Yeah, Shelley has asked a question. Do you have to download and pay for it? Yes, you have. What you pay for is the username. So you get a username that you can use on any platform. The software is free. The servers are free, but it does cost almost $30 to get that username, and that's even if you set it up for a school, there might be a school discount, but the school has to buy the usernames. So it's actually a very profitable game. It was created by Mojang. It's now been bought by Microsoft. Microsoft is really pushing it as an educational tool, and it's $30, but it's quite an experience. When you get the user ID, you can put it on any device, or you can go to any other computer and log on to your. You can get into the games, and we have a server. Jeff and Aaron have set up a server in Ohio, and it's just a box sitting in Aaron's office, and it's pretty simple. We could also learn to set up servers. Maha is asking, how do you prepare for that? What you do is you join our Google Plus community, and that's at the evosessions.pvworks.com page, and then at the Google community you're directed, you have to fill out a form. We need some information from you because we need to whitelist people on our server, so especially we need to know your username. And so we would like for you to fill out the form. So it's really the only way we know how many participants we have as well, because people who join the community, there are people, it's a community that's in its second year now. So we wouldn't know who was just there from last year and who was with us this year unless you fill out the form. So there's a form you must fill out online, and those two things, joining our community and filling out the form, is how you you join our session. Okay, seeing somebody talking in the background there. Okay, any more questions? This is my last minute that I'm going to be talking here, and we'll pass on to the village people. Okay, well, I'm going to see if Helena is here. She's signed up for village. So that's the next session we have, EVO Village. I'm the mentor. I was the mentor for EVO Village. I didn't have to do much. That was kind of nice because they are so experienced. Is Helena here?
Yes, hello, Van. Thank you, everyone. I hope you can hear me well. Good afternoon with my time. Good morning, good evening. I can start if you can hear me. If you could tell me if you can hear me, someone? Yeah? Yes. Okay, thank you so much. Well, I'm Helena Galani. I'm located in central Greece, Lamia. I'm one of the moderators on EVO Village, which is virtual language learning and gaming environment. And I would like to welcome everyone to this year's EVO sessions. There's a very big group of us with long teaching experience on Village and very skillful people in education in virtual worlds. Each week there will be three moderators, three of us will be moderating. Let me tell you what Village is about, first of all. It's aimed at experienced language educators, but don't panic, everyone, because we've got enough material for you on our Google Plus community for you to prepare and become competent enough in order to follow. It's open to language course designers and web heads. If you are without experience, you can learn the basics. They are available on the platform and on our PBWorks page with videos that Carol Rainbow has prepared. Well, let me tell you a little bit what you will be doing. First of all, you are going to learn how to build board games, which is very straightforward. You're also going to build with sounds and scripts. You're going to find out how to put them in prints and build interactive objects like mazes, tangrams. You find out what Hyde Park Corner is in Second Life. And you're going to learn and create gaming environments, interactive rooms, buildings, scavenger hunts. You will see how to upload 3D games, models. It's very exciting. And actually, if you are curious, we expect you to find out in week 4. You're welcome to find out what the Trojan rabbit is. Also, in the last week, we're going to look at, it's very exciting, Shelley, yeah, you should come too. It does take place in Second Life, yes, that's our home. We've got a sandbox there. And we're also going to look at virtual environments, 3D worlds. In the last week, we will tell you what interactive scenarios are, global simulations, role-play games, and you will find out what emoting is. Also, we're actually planning to stage a show and tell event at the end in which the participants are going to show their creations based on their scenarios. Let me tell you a little bit about the number of people who have registered so far. We've got about 81 people who have signed up, and the number has been increasing by the hour, actually. So we're hoping that by the end of the day, the participants will, the number of participants will climb up. We will be meeting on Thursdays and Saturdays at 8:30 Greenwich Mean Time on EduNation in Second Life until the 14th of February. You won't forget the date. And what else? Yes, well, Hazel was saying before, the good thing in this virtual world is that you never lose, you never get killed, you can fly, and on top of things, you're surrounded by a wonderful group of beautiful people who are always there for help and support with your teaching aims and ideas about how to promote your students' language skills. And finally, let me say a big thanks to our sponsors, who are Call Intersection, TESOL Greece, and TESOL Macedonia Thrace, Northern Greece. Thank you. Would you like to ask me anything? Please feel free. Thank you, Shelley. Thanks so much.
I hope you can hear me. This is Nellie. The chat is off for me for some reason. I don't know why. So, Vance, can you enable the chat?
Right. I have the same problem, Vance. Somehow my chat permission was disabled.
Okay. I'll have a look at it. Anyway. Okay. Go ahead. So, I'll
yeah,
I'll
mine
see what I can
too.
Do. Oh, well, I've got mine. I wonder why. Okay. I'll figure it out.
Chat is disabled too.
Oh, strange. Well, a lot of people are. Shelley has got it. Let's see. A lot of people just left the main room. I wonder what's going on.
What's happening? I don't understand the system. I mean, I am not familiar with it. But what's happening is every time I try to type in the main room, it takes my text and sends it to another tab called session, and when I open that tab, it says chat supervised.
Oh, okay. Maybe one of the moderators did it inadvertently. I'll see what I can do. Is it back?
Yes, my chat is back, Vance.
I found it, yeah. Okay. All right. So we have several moderators. Maybe someone just clicked there by mistake, or maybe I was trying to mute a mic and did it myself. I don't really know. Okay, great. Sorry about that. Okay. So anyway, does anyone have any questions for Helena or about Village? Our next session is Rosalind Young, teaching pronunciation differently. So Rosalind can be getting herself ready while we're talking to Helena about Village. Okay, let's see. This is mostly about making games. That's something new for you, isn't it? At Village, have you been doing machinima, things like that? Is this a first time emphasis on making games in the Village EVO session? Was I audible now? Can you hear me?
Is that a question?
Yeah, I was asking if this is the first time you've made games, creating games, an emphasis in the Village sessions.
Well, we've got so many experienced moderators that have been working on Second Life for many years now, so there's a variety of ideas you can get there and a lot of support. For me, actually, it's been the first year as a teacher, let's say, in education. And this time last year, I got the Camelot Award, the first prize. I'm very proud of that. And that has really been very motivating for me. It has changed my teaching routine, although I have always been trying to implement call in my lessons, but this is unprecedented. The experience in a 3D environment like Second Life is irreplaceable, and it's the results that they bring out, this experience brings out for students, that actually matters so much, not only for the teacher, but also for the students themselves. Even if they're young learners, they don't have to log in to Second Life. They can give you instructions and they can create their own machinimas. The results are accelerating. We had a very good opportunity to talk about creating games in Second Life. We were invited by Joyce Betancourt, and I did forget to mention this. Last Friday, we were invited by the TechSoup at the Nonprofit Commons on Second Life, and it was a wonderful experience to reveal a lot of truths about the benefits of teaching in a virtual world through games and scenarios. Thank you.
Okay. Have a little break in the program, so I suppose if anybody has any questions whatsoever, this would be a good time to ask them. And also, if any of the other moderators would like to come in and say a few words, that would be great. The next presentation, it looks like it's in about 20 minutes from now on the schedule, but we don't mind going early. So if Rosalind Young is ready, we could bring you forward, or also if Joseph Slick or Tara Amston or the TTO would like to do their presentation early, that would be fine. We have those four presentations on the schedule still. So does anybody have any questions or comments you'd like to make? We'll have a little open mic time here. Okay, and I'm seeing notes in the text chat that Rosalind is ready. So Rosalind is up next. We could talk about teaching pronunciation differently. Go ahead, Rosalind.
Hello, everybody. I hope you can hear me. Teaching pronunciation differently, we have three moderators. We have Piers, who wasn't available today. Arizio, he's in Australia, so it's 2 a.m., and so I'm the one who's here with you. We're passionate about pronunciation because usually it's not very well taught. I don't know whether you know the joke put forward a little facetiously by Tom MacArthur. Pronunciation is that part of a student which is the same at the end of a language course as at the beginning. We would like to change that, and it can be changed. And so this is what it's about. It's about doing things entirely differently. So the first thing we deal with, which we'll deal with in speech in week two, in fact, is speech breathing, because English is breathed in a completely different way from other languages. And this is what gives us aspiration in English, rather than just holding up a piece of paper in front of your lips, for example, is to learn to breathe the language correctly. And this creates the stress and reduction system in English. And so we spend a week looking at this and providing exercises for people to try with their students in the classroom. Week number three is about something called articulatory settings. Articulatory settings, this is a very, very important idea in language teaching. What it is that each language has a particular setting from which you can speak the language extremely easily. And these are quite different. So, for example, if you take the analogy of sports, you can see very clearly that if I get myself into a certain position, you will know that what I'm doing is playing tennis. And if I'm in a completely different position, then you'll know that what I'm doing is boxing or playing golf, for example. Now, this happens with languages too. For example, in French, the tongue is held generally just behind the lower front teeth, and it doesn't move from there except for just a couple of sounds. And whereas in English, the tongue is entirely different. And so what we do is look at articulatory settings, discover the articulatory setting for English, and from there it becomes rather easy to obtain the correct pronunciation of the language. This is, if you like, mouth gymnastics. And I can see a question, does it focus on a particular English accent? No, not at all. Not at all. It focuses on the accent of the teacher, if you like. The next thing that's important is that most languages have vowels and consonants, but English is entirely strange in this respect, that it has three categories. It has vowels, consonants, and what we call minimals, which are the whole reduction system in English. And so in the third week, we'll be dealing with the reduction system and putting it all together in the fourth week. So this is what teaching pronunciation differently is all about. The big problem with teaching pronunciation at the moment everywhere is that people start with listen. Now, if you can imagine what happens there, there's no way that people can find out how English is breathed just by listening. And there's no way that they can find out how you hold your mouth in English just by listening. And with listening, there is a problem, there's a psychological problem, which is that if I'm listening to something, then I put myself in my ears to hear it better. And what I need to do is put myself into my mouth to be able to say it better. And so the only way to do this, so to keep people out of listening, the best thing to do, in fact, is quite simply for the teacher not to model. So the teacher, in fact, doesn't model anything. The teacher has to have a system by which sounds can be introduced, and we have this. We can show people how to use it. And people who were teaching pronunciation differently last year found it extremely interesting and useful for them. So there you go. That's about what I have to say. If we have at the moment coming up to 270 people enrolled in the PB Works part of it, and we have 99 on Google, but I guess they'll on Google Plus community, but I guess there'll be about 270 of those in the next couple of days. So thank you very much, and if you have any questions, I'll be very happy to answer. And I won't forget to release the mic.
Hello, this is Elizabeth again. I just want to tell you my story with this group, with this session, because since I remember the coordinating team, I was asked to mentor this session, so I joined it by accident, not intending to work on pronunciation. And I was actually totally amazed by what I learnt during the session. And after living in France for 40 years, by understanding this articulatory setting, I can finally do a French accent. No one explained before. I thought it was really quite funny. So I wouldn't say join the session because it's too much. It's absolutely amazing.
I've heard good things about it too. That's a wonderful, pronunciation is kind of a neglected thing, isn't it? So it's really nice when you have experts who can explain it to you and help make a difference to your students. So are there any other questions for Rosalind?
Could Sarah explain his question? I enrolled in this session but didn't get the approval. That sounds very strange.
Yeah, I noticed that. That was a good way to get attention, Sarah. Zahra al-Marhoubi from Muscat, my neighboring country, a beautiful country. I lived there for 10 years in Muscat. So, yes, okay, so something for Rosalind to notice. Zahra has joined the session and would like to participate in pronunciation. Okay. Any other questions?
Okay, let's see if Joseph, Tara, or Leticia are available to present their sessions.
Okay, I'm ready. Can you hear me? I'm Leticia. Okay, so welcome, hello Grant, hello everybody. I want to say hello to our to the coordinators and to the moderators and to all our participants. Daniela and I are moderating TechnoClil for EDO 2016. So the focus is on CLIL, content and language integrated learning, and on ICT, so technologies, how to implement. How to introduce CLIL methodology in our classes through the use of technologies, ICT, web tools, softwares, and so on. So this is the topic of our session. Daniela and I are quite familiar with EDO because we moderated another EDO session on CLIL in 2014 and an EDO session on personal learning environment in 2013. So we are quite we have a strong link with EDO community. So we are very happy this year to repeat this experience. We have at the moment a huge and really impressive number of participants, about 30,000, more than 30,000 participants. So we are really, really happy and a little bit worried, but we do our best to make it successful. And we want to thank Nelly because our session is hosted by her Moodle. And Nelly is supporting us with this huge number of participants with all technical problems, so thank you so much. So the session will be mainly on the Moodle with the synchronous activities through the 5 weeks, and there will be a lot of webinars, so weekly webinars, about 3 or 4 webinars per week, so because we want to consider synchronous webinar as the highlight of our session, because that was what we found out when we had the EDO CLIL in 2014, because participants, that was the feedback from our participants. They really appreciated the webinars with experts, because they gave the opportunity to share ideas, practice, get hints from the speakers, and ask questions directly to them. So this year we want to highlight this aspect as well, and with more speakers. We have about I think about 25 participants speakers. Sorry, and for example, we have today in later, so it's 9 p.m. CET time, European Rome time. The live event with our inspector from the Italian Ministry of Education, Gisella Lange, giving an overview of the CLIL provision in Italy and in Europe, but it's going to be later tonight, so about 9 p.m. Rome time. And then we have some other guest speakers like Maria Frigos from Spain, who is one of the godmother of CLIL, and then Carmel Conan from Venice University, another expert in CLIL, and then also the European Commission. The European Commission is going to have a webinar on CLIL, commenting on the latest recommendations and documents from the European Commission itself. And we also are going to organize a virtual roundtable from all our universities and experts about CLIL. It's going to be very very demanding, but we hope very interesting for all our participants. So through the 5 weeks, we are starting from, of course, the definitions, CLIL definitions, and different models and strategies, and then we are going to give hints to our participants how to use technologies, also implementing the innovative teaching models like flipped classroom and bring your own devices, and so how to build up a career repository where to introduce CLIL in order to innovate the daily teaching practice. So now, if we have time, Lance, I would like to give the floor to Daniela to say something more about the organization of the activities and of the course.
Yes, thank you, Letizia. Hello, everyone. I just want to give you a quick overview of the key features of the course, as well as the Moodle platform. We have a very active Facebook group, and we also like to share our ideas and thoughts via Twitter using the hashtag TechnoCleanForEVO16. Our course is made, as the others, of 5 modules, and each of these modules includes the following elements, such as readings and resources to highlight relevant topics of the module, or module discussions where people can share their thoughts and reflections, and activities, because for each module we ask participants to complete an activity and especially to provide the feedback to other courses participants' work. And this is very important because we like to promote peer review and peer evaluation. At the end of each module, there will be an end of the week test that can be very useful just to check, how to evaluate and check if all the aspects of the content covered in the module have been followed. But then there is a cross-course activity that will last since the beginning until the end, and it is the creation of a learning diary that is a sort of collection of all the elements from the course that people think are relevant for their own context. And these can be also uploaded at the end of the fifth week. And as well as the learning diary, people have the possibility to create their own. Sorry, can you hear me? I see that you can't hear very properly. Yes, okay. So as I say that we have a cross-course task, that is the creation and the sharing of a learning diary. That is very important because people can collect all the relevant aspects of the course and the links and materials and comment on that. But they also have to share these diaries with other people through a dedicated category in the forum. And another important aspect that thanks to this good platform, the Moodle platform, we have the possibility to create an e-portfolio. So each participant can store and can save links and materials and also discussions in the forum. And at the end of the training course, they can also share it with other participants. So peer review, peer evaluation, and e-portfolio assessment will be considered throughout the course. As Letizia said, we have plenty of webinars. During these webinars, we have the opportunity to collect questions by participants, and we'll ask then speakers to give answers to all the questions. And at the end of the webinar or after in the platform. So if you want to join us, we have different places where we can communicate. The most important, the main one, is the Moodle platform, but also the very active Facebook group. And don't forget to tweet us through the Twitter. Thank you for hearing me.
Thank you. I have a question. And one, let's see, because you have so many participants, that was the dilemma faced by George Siemens and Stephen Downs and Dave Cormier in 2008 when they got surprised with about the same number of participants. And of course they were playing it by ear back then, and you know, how were they going to deal with it? They were being asked that all the time. And so their idea, of course, was to get the participants communicating with each other. I noticed some suggestions were made that, well, obviously you've told us in the side chat that you're getting moderators, community moderators. That's a very good way. That's the way shaping the way we teach English does it. They've enlisted community moderators to help them with the participants. But are you going to apply any techniques for getting the aggregating content so that participants themselves can interact with each other? Have you what kind of things do you think you'll be doing along those lines?
Well, we have, first of all, we have so many participants that we had the need to ask for other moderators, especially for the foreign moderators, to help us. So we have both Italian and in the English moderators that will help us with the help desk forum for people who have technical issues, or for people who, as you see, there are so many Italian participants in this course also have language problems. But we'll activate some forum for discussion and for reflections, and we'll try to differentiate the different forum. One is, just as I said before, help desk for technical issues. Another one is for sharing learning diaries, and so people can upload their link to their learning diaries and also comment and reflect on other people. So this is a good way to create a sort of peer evaluation. And then we have the Facebook group where people are still already sharing ideas, tools, resources, and materials. And then also the e-portfolio allows us to share what people think and what people find interesting in the course, and also reflections and with other participants. We do not think to have a forum for each module, otherwise people could get lost, but it is better to have some dedicated category for each of the relevant aspects that we want to promote during the course. And so I think that there is a sort of learning community that is still very active. We have so many different ways to communicate with these participants. They are writing us, sending messages through the web platform, and also to Facebook and through messengers. And so I think that we can keep in touch also thanks to the help of other people who are moderating the dedicated forum with us. I don't know if Letizia wants to add something more.
I just want to say that the Facebook group is really, really active. So I think that could be the real part, when the real area where participants can interact, and also in informal ways. That's what they're doing. They have already started doing that. So I think that we offer a lot of opportunities to participants to interact. So Facebook group will be the first one, and the most informal one as well. But also all over the 5 weeks, all over the course, we will have different. We'll offer different opportunities, and also during the webinars, we'll encourage participants to post questions in the chat, and then we'll collect all the questions and ask our guest speakers to give answers, and then follow up, and then post this follow up in the platform. So we will do the best we can.
A suggestion, Christina Costa does online lectures with her students, and she sets up a Twitter tag, and the students will make comments in the Twitter tag, and the Twitter feed, people can follow the tag, and the feed comes through. So that's one way of getting people to post in a way that everybody can see it.
Just wanted to say that Twitter is great, Vince, but it doesn't encourage deep thinking and reflections and, I don't know, writing in general, academic writing. So I think it's problematic.
Okay, well, it's appropriate for, what if you want to get people to post in a place where people can see the feed, and you've got so many participants, then they can put deeper links in there. But that's, you'd have to see how Christina uses it. Because actually, for example, people can create projects, and then those projects get, the links to the projects get posted in the feed. So not only do you get the comments during the class, but then following up on the class, you get all the links aggregated in one place on that tag. It's interesting. But anyhow, are there other questions? And also, Joseph Slick is due to come on in about 5 minutes. And Emanuela wants to know if Daniela read her question. Okay, I'll hand over the mic, and if Joseph is here, and the presenter after that is Tara Amson, so she could also go on if Joseph is not ready.
I just wanted to suggest that the classroom research for professional development team are not available, and they cannot make it to this live session. So they just recommended or just requested to share this YouTube video with participants. I'd like just to add that this session aims to help teachers and teacher trainers with hands-on research-based teacher development education. It offers a number of sessions run by different educators and researchers on different stages and forms of teacher research for teacher development. These sessions focus on commencing teachers' research, developing a plan, sustaining research, and developing research autonomy. In doing so, the project aims at improving teachers' efficacy and motivation to be research engaged. Well, the YouTube video is shared on the chat link, so you can have a look at it or just bookmark it for later watching. Thank you, Vance.
Okay, thank you, Mubarak. That link, you might want to post it again in the chat because people could watch that. And also we'll embed that in the recording that we make of the archive for the session. Tara said she would speak for Joseph, Media Resources and Emotions in Teaching and Learning, and also Educators in Copyright Doing the Right Thing. And I think she's about ready. So Tara, if you'd like to go on, I'll release the mic and let's see what happens.
Hello, can everyone hear me? Sure. Okay, if it's okay with Sam, can I talk about the copyright session first? I'll just get started. So thank you so much for having me here this morning. It's a pleasure to be involved with the video again this year. Well, I will be co-moderating the media and emotions session after this a little bit. I am also involved in the copyright and educate the right thing session, which is
Tara. There we go. Someone is helping with the slides. I couldn't find the slide that goes with your session. So, and someone's also asked if you could turn your volume up a little bit or move closer to the mic. And we'll restart in just a second. Are we on your slide yet?
You're on the emotion slide from my end.
Okay, copyright
the
slide.
Apple.
The apple. Yes,
yep,
that one.
There we
okay.
Go.
All right.
Thank
okay,
you.
Great.
Right.
Okay.
The volume better now?
I think so.
Okay. I don't know where my microphone is located. So I'll just get closer here.
On the talk button,
okay, so like
the
I
bar.
Said,
oh, if you can move the bar slightly to the right, then that will increase your volume.
I don't think I have that option.
In the talk button that you pressed just above the talk button to where
yeah.
you,
oh,
you
I
activated
don't have
the microphone?
No. I don't think I'm what you're looking at.
Are you
okay.
on a tablet?
I am.
iPad?
No.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I think if you move, then how do you do it on the iPad? Oh, I can't remember. Okay, anyway, well, you're sounding fine. So, go ahead.
Okay, well, just stop me if you can't hear me. So like I said, I'm working on the media and emotion session with Dr. Slick and our co-moderator, but right now I'd like to talk about the copywriter and educators do the right thing session. So, as I said, it's making its second appearance in the EVO, the original moderating team, including Andrew, Kent, and Melissa, who are all based in Japan, plus me, based in the US, are all returners. Unfortunately, Sherry, who got the session up and running, I guess, last year, she is busy working on her PhD in New Zealand and so is unable to take part this year due to time constraints. Hopefully, she'll be back next year. But we are happy this year to welcome Paul Keyworth as a moderator. He was a very active participant in our session last year and is based in Hong Kong. And also a shout out to Elizabeth Ann, who has been our mentor throughout the process this year. So we really appreciated her input and support. The copyright session introduces participants to the principles of copyright and fair use. We include the framework analysis, public domain, and creative common resources, as well as attribution. Most of the materials we've selected pertain to the US, but taking into consideration the feedback we received last year and also on our proposal this year, we want to have a stronger focus on encouraging or challenging our participants to examine the copyright laws that apply in their own teaching context. We are also pleased again this year to have Dr. Robert Diotolevi, a lawyer, university law professor, and author of An Education in Copyright Law, A Primer for Cyberspace, joining us for a Google Hangout in week 3. He will be giving a presentation regarding the internet and copyright laws and how they affect educators. So we are using a Google site to organize our content, a Google Plus community to host discussions, and weekly Google Hangouts for more discussion, a more collaborative environment perhaps. Participants will be reading articles and viewing videos, posting comments and reflections, writing attribution lines, and creating a copyright compliant lesson plan, including a variety of resources. At this point, we have 59 participants signed up, and based on the introductions that have been posted so far, from the early birds, South America and Europe seem particularly well represented this year, but we'll obviously know more at the end of the week. So if anyone has any questions, I would be happy to address them now. And I'm not seeing any questions coming up. But well, if I see them in the chat, I can also respond there.
I just gave myself a second, Mike. I think this is a really important session. I've read Lawrence Lessig is a good writer on this, for example. This is really an issue that people need to know about. I wonder how you address the international ramifications. Some people don't like copyright laws being United States centric. How do you address that? Is that an issue that you deal with in your course?
So last year, I think all of our content was US centric. This year, we have made a greater effort to diversify our materials, but it's even when we were just looking at the United States, there are so many issues that come up regarding copyright, and it's impossible to do, all U.S. copyright law justice in 5 weeks, and that's not really what we're trying to accomplish either. So I think as long as people come into it just looking to get a starting point, some information, and the opportunity to explore the concept. And we post resources for all over the world. So even though our content might be US-based, we provide links to help people find information for their own countries as well. It's very complicated.
Yeah, it's kind of an awareness of how you need to give people. You can't just take something off an image like the image of the apple you have there. That's you can't use that unless you've found it it's Creative Commons or something like that. So
exactly,
it's an awareness thing. In fact, when I put images in my slides, I generally put a very small link to the source, but anyway, but that's a habit of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, okay. Are there any other questions for Tara? Or any questions at all? For example, someone's asking, how much time do we have to join a group? Maybe how much time do people have to join the copyright session, for example?
So because it's week one, we would, of course, be happy for people to register at any point in the 5 weeks. But if you register this week, you will join without having missed anything at all.
Okay, I've actually snuck in an additional mic here, so if you want to ask a question, go right ahead.
The question about the time for joining, I see it came from an Italian participant, and so I'm thinking that possibly that person was trying to join TechnoCoil, which is very popular with the Italians this year, although we have Italians in other sessions and we have non-Italians in TechnoCoil. Because of the very large enrollment, about 4,000 now in that session, we are thinking of closing enrollment today. For most EVO sessions, it's okay. You can come in late and we can accommodate you, but possibly not in that one. And the reason that the person is having trouble may be because it is already closed, in which case I apologize and recommend that you try again next year.
I might add that this is really up to the session moderator. In EVO Minecraft MOOC, people are welcome to join at any time, but we do have a server in creative mode for a couple of weeks, and then we go into survival mode. So if you came in week four, you might feel a little bit under pressure. but again, you'd find all the help that you wanted. So it's best if you can join at the beginning of the session. And some of them have syllabuses that they follow. And it's really up to the moderators if they accept people or not. I believe our announcements say that people can join from the 3rd to the 10th of January. So session leaders are within their rights to stop enrollment if they want. But it's really up to the session leaders. Any other questions? Okay, were you going to say anything about media resources and emotions, Tara?
Yes, I would be happy to do that as well. As some of you may have noticed, we've been having some technical issues this morning. But Dr. Slick, he emailed me a script to read. And so if you'll bear with me, that is what I will be sharing with you this morning. So, the media resources and emotion in teaching and learning session is intended to create discussion about emotions through the use of readings, discussion, personal experience, and multimedia resources. Emotions are an integral part of the human experience, especially in teaching and learning. It is only recently that emotions have gained credibility in the professional world, and we hope to create bridges to those professional worlds through the interaction of people using technology. Technology provides opportunities to share our emotions and serves as an important resource for making sense of human interpretation of emotions in teaching and learning of TESOL while navigating culture and languages. The positive response to this session indicates the receptivity of exploring and discussing emotions. And at this point, I will add that we have over 70 registered participants. Like the copyright session, Emotions of Teaching and Learning is using Google Plus Community, Google Site, and Google Hangouts. The goals of this session are to engage in emotions. The first session has a survey, the first week of the session has a survey in which our participants tell us their emotional response. For example, and this is from Dr. Slick, for example, if Blackboard Collaborate were a question on his survey, he would check off very frustrating because it prevented him from entering a community of people, the experience of Blackboard Collaborate as very frustrating, has implications for how he would talk about Blackboard Collaborate, how he would use it, and how he would feel about it as well. It then requires grit and resilience to move past this very frustrating emotion. Teachers especially have very little time to exercise grit, as they have no time to work their way through the technological problem, as technology must be friendly and easy in order for teachers to have positive emotions. When people have positive emotions to technology, they are likely to befriend this technology, and it becomes a part of their teaching repertoire. In the second and third weeks, there are readings which discuss teachers and emotions using a variety of perspectives to create rich discussion points. These readings are supported by TED Talks. In the fourth and fifth weeks, we use a Russian cartoon to expand the discussion. Participants are encouraged to respond with their own cartoon as well as their reflection of the cartoon and the reading. Thus, from week 1 to 5, the participants move through human experience to engage their own teaching practices and technological tools, which provide them a continuum of the emotional experience. And that's what I have for media resources and emotion in teaching and learning. If you have any questions, side note, I'm the tech facilitator for this session, so I may not be able to respond appropriately to content-related questions, but I encourage you all to request access to the Google Plus community and view the Google site if you are interested in those aspects of the session.
Yeah, did you say that Dr. Slick was not able to come here because of problems with Blackboard Collaborate?
That is correct.
That is frustrating. There's been a change in the way they, there's been two changes. One, Chrome has stopped supporting, although sometimes it does support Java, but it's not supporting Java, and the Collaborate is a Java-based system. And then at some point last year, they made a change in the meeting files, which required you to download the Collaborate, a different kind of meeting file. And I think also Windows 8 and 10 have come along at this time, and we're finding problems with if you're trying to get it on Windows 8 or Windows 10, there's some tricks you have to do. We've learned a little bit about those tricks, but I do agree that it's very frustrating when we can't use this tool that we've been using very successfully for 10 years previously. On the upside, for the emotions, this tool is provided to us free by Learning Times on a grant. And here again, they started, it's actually called the Webheads Virtual Office. And when we were Webheads, they gave us this grant, and they've just continued it. So it's a resource that people can use, but I agree, it's quite frustrating. I'm very frustrated because it's not as easy to use as it was. I can offer advice. I can put a link in the text chat. I'll do that when I stop talking, where we've accumulated information that people have picked up about how to try and resolve the problem. But anyway, and Nina, of course, I've been working with her very closely. She's writing. She's here by virtue of having come in on a tablet. So with Android, tablet, iPad, you don't get as many features as you do if you come in on a Windows or a PC environment. For example, you can't really moderate a session. Nina can't be a moderator. She made the slideshow, and thank you, Nina, for that, but she could not page the slides, so she's been prompting us in the text chat to do that. But anyway, there are workarounds, but you know, we're trying all to find all of the free tools that we use. And Illuminate, by the way, or Blackboard Collaborate, is not free. It actually costs somebody money. So we're just fortunate to have it for free. But the other tools we use all have limitations, like Zoom, free Zoom, Hangout, Blab are limited to 10 to 4 participants at one time. So it's hard. Other things that you can pay for, like Adobe Connect, for example, is pretty useful, but then somebody has to provide it. So it's something we're trying to address. For me, I look at the glass as being more than half full rather than half empty. So I try to focus on the positives.
I think you brought some really good points there, Vance, about how we use what's available to us to the best of our abilities, and then struggle through the rest of it. And I think that's with really any resource. We have classroom computers that sometimes just decide, you know what, today I don't feel like working. And, I'm sure we've all had those days that we have to get through and find alternative solutions to some interesting problems.
Yeah, and things also change. Technology changes. For example, Google Plus Communities has gone from an old version that we all liked to a new version that nobody likes and isn't really doing for us what the old version did. And people who are using it are having a different interface. And why people bother to make, my motto is if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So it definitely wasn't broken, and it was working fine, and now it's not working so fine. No telling. But anyway, that's what people are paid to innovate, and I suppose they consider that innovation. While we were talking here, I just found the link to the tutorials on Blackboard Collaborate, where we've tried to fix, where we've tried to document how we've addressed our frustrations over the Blackboard Collaborate problem. And there are some solutions in there if you bother to dig around and find them, and some of them actually work. So anyway, well, thank you very much, Tara. We appreciate you and everybody's coming along to our sessions. We're sort of due to wrap up in 10 minutes. We've been going over 2 hours now. By the way, though, the session is being recorded, so if you can't reach it, well, you won't be able to get it through Blackboard Collaborate Illuminate because you'll need the launcher to open the file. But what I do is I make an MP4 and put that up to YouTube, and we make also MP3 recordings, so you'll be able to access the recordings and get some of the experience back even without going through the Illuminate tools. So maybe my fellow moderators would like to come in and say something, or if anybody has any other questions, the mics are open, and happy to talk to you, and we wish you a really great EVO session in our 16th year, I believe. So what an effort. We all deserve to pat each other on the back.
Well, on behalf of the coordination team, I'd like to thank all the participants and the lead moderators who presented their sessions. And I'd like to thank the coordination team themselves, like Nina, Vance, Elizabeth, and Nelly, and Jose Antonio, and Maria, all participated and animated the session. Well, we look forward to a very successful and very fruitful and very enjoyable session this year. We are ready to help anyone who has got any problems. So let's work together and let's make it a real success. So thank you, everyone, for coming. The word is for Vance to have a closure, if you want.
Well, I could invite Nina to say some nice things, or Nelly, or anybody else. Jose is gone. Jeff LeBeau went to bed long ago.
I'm here.
Yeah,
this
Nina's
is
still here. Okay.
This has been a crazy ride. But it's really exciting to listen to all of these moderators describing their sessions. It's amazing to see all the Italian teachers that were here with varying proficiencies in English. I wish them all well. With TechnoClil, and I wish Letizia and Daniela good luck with handling 4,000 participants.
Thanks to everybody who came. Thanks especially to Vance for being here throughout and dealing with all the problems. Thanks to Mrobotic for running the show this year. Lots of thanks for that. And to all the coordinators and all the moderators and all the participants that showed up today.
I might just sneak in that this has been not only the EVO kickoff session, which means we're starting now. Everything is starting. Get in there and explore your courses and find out what it is you've signed up for and start interacting with the moderators and other participants, especially the other participants. And another thing I'd like to slip in is that this is Learning Together, episode 309. Today is the 10th of January, 2016, and you'll be able to find an archive of this at learningtogether.net. That's with a 2 in it, the number 2, Learning Together. Nelly, you most certainly can say something. I'll release my mic and take it over. Nelly, that's your cue. Please, oh, no mic. She wants to say something. Okay, how are you going to say it? Oh, okay, I'll release mine. You should have one. Nelly, I've made 3 mics available, so something is going on other than the mics are available. So, hang on a minute. Let me just check your settings. Hang on a minute.
Okay, now I can speak. Yes. Now I can speak. Hello, world. Nelly. Listen, the only thing, we are amazing. I mean, teachers are amazing, and your passion, everybody's passion for learning is amazing. But technology is not there, guys. It's not. 4,000 enrollees in 6 days. You know, it's about 500 a day at least, and the server goes. So my server is down. We're trying to get it back up. It's a huge server, but because the traffic was so big, we're trying to get back on track. So I apologize to everyone for technology, but, we're not there yet, people. We're not. Trust me. I hope things will get a lot better. So thank you, and good luck to everyone.
Well, Nelly, you're just amazing. The things you take on, I'm sure you're up to it. I'm sure you'll solve the problems, and we'll all learn from you and seeing how you do it. And we're really looking forward to working with everybody this year. So thank you very much, everybody. Any good nights from anybody else? Someone's doing a screen share. I'm not sure what's happening there. Should I put it back into whiteboard mode? I'll just do that. I put it back in whiteboard mode. Okay, thank you, and good night, everybody. And we'll see you as we get stuck into our sessions. Bye-bye. From Vance Stevens and Ally.